Father, this morning, have your way with us. Come as a consuming fire. Light us up. Fill us with your presence. Give us your power. May we do the things that you've called us to do. If you have your Bibles, your tablets, your phones, your chalkboard, whatever you use to look for Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1. You can follow along if you can. I say that because I want to read out of the Passion this morning. I just love how the Passion translation speaks to me in this text. So if it doesn't seem to fit your translation, hang in there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think we'll start at about verse 2. My beloved son, I pray for a greater release of God's grace, love, and total well-being to flow into your life from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that I've been called to serve the God of my fathers with a clean conscience. Night and day I pray constantly for you, building a memorial for you in my prayers. Isn't that powerful? Do we build memorials for people in our prayers? Paul did that for Timothy. I know that you have wept for me, your spiritual father, and your tears are dear to me. I can't wait to see you again. I'm filled with joy as I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line. It began with your grandmother Lois, who passed it on to your dear mother Eunice. And it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example. I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle a fire of the spiritual gift that God has imparted to you when I laid hands upon you. This is our verse for the morning. For God will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. So never be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor be embarrassed over my imprisonment, but overcome evil by the revelation of the power of God. Verse 7, for God will never give you a spirit of fear, but he does give you the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, who gives you love, and who gives you self-control. What a promise. I'll start off on the opposite side of this morning. We're going to go through some things today, and you're going to hear me repeat myself over and over again, and you're going to start to think, is this guy's mind lost? Is he just repeating himself? I'm sorry, I have watched the show, so if you know where the show comes from, I won't tell you. I'm sorry, I did watch it, I confess, and that's my confession for the morning. But my mother did have me tested, and I'm not crazy. Okay, so I know what I'm doing this morning, I think. So just hang in there with me. But we're going to start from the other side of this, because you've done this just like I think. I think there's times in our lives when we attempt to live our lives on our own strength, on our own power, on our own agenda. We want to do things our way, right? Because we think we know what's best for our lives. But you know, when we do that, we open ourselves up to a spirit of fear. God never gives us a spirit of fear. And this morning, if you are gripped with a spirit of fear in your life, it is not from the Father. What God does give us is this great gift of the person called the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and he gives us this way out of this spirit of fear. He gives us a remedy. He gives us a solution. So that when we are in times of fear, we have something, someone to rely on. The someone is the Holy Spirit. The something is the things that he gives us. So Paul says he gives us mighty power to overcome fear. He gives us love that destroys fear. And he gives us self-control so that we don't allow fear to creep into our hearts and minds. And if you've ever been gripped with a spirit of fear, you know irrational thinking takes place, which can lead to some really irrational behaviors, which are not good for us. I say that because fear is a tormenting spirit. And this spirit has no place in the life for those of us who call Jesus Christ Lord. Because this spirit of fear will keep you up at night. You can go to bed absolutely exhausted, but I can guarantee your pastime throughout the night hours will be staring at the ceiling, because you will be staring at it gripped in fear. The spirit of fear will destroy your peace. It'll destroy your joy. It leads into deep seasons of exhaustion, deep seasons of worry, anxiousness. It paralyzes us mentally and emotionally and physically. Putting our trust in God every day instead of fear, that is the calling for all of us who would say, well, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. You may say, well, my mountain is big. So what? God is bigger. And we put our trust there. And so this is what we do. We say, Lord, today, in spite of what I face, I trust you. I trust you. Lord, today, no matter what mountain I face, I trust you. Lord, today, I'm going to rest in your great and precious promises. Just so you don't feel alone in this whole area of fear, fear isn't a 21st century dilemma. Fear has been around for a long time. Mark 4, verse 40, Jesus says to his disciples, why do you fear? Where's your faith? Jesus is telling us in this very short passage that faith is the marker of believers, not fear. And so for all of us this morning, you, for your own health, for your own spiritual good, need to walk in faith, no matter what you're facing. I'm not trying to diminish your mountain, but I'm just simply saying, you need to walk in faith because it will build you up to face the mountain. Your family needs to see you walk in faith. You think of this platform that was filled with kids this morning. Last week I had the high privilege of working with grade school and helping them to understand this is a place we want to create as health zones. And so we worked towards the end of our time together. And we gathered on the floor, we came into a circle, and we began to make declarations of healings, of minds set free. We declared over you, we declared over dogs, we declared over hamsters. We did a lot of declaring. These children are hungry and ready to take on the devil. They want to be here when people come forward for prayer, they want to be standing beside the prayer team and learning what it means to declare this to be healing zone. These are kids with faith. And boy, I don't think there was one of them when I asked them, would you come here and would you stand with the George and Isabels and the Pastor Kens and the Gerharts and Hilmas? I don't think there was one of them didn't put their hand up. They want to be here because they want to see God move. They want to see people healed and set free. That's faith. Your children need to see it modeled in your homes and in your lives. You know as well as I do, this world is in great turmoil these days. And if any place and any time in history that this world needs to see faith lived out in people's lives, it's today through us. Because we have the answer. And the answer is not in politics. The answer is not in this world. The answer comes in the person of Jesus Christ. We have that answer, and we should be going out there and living with a smile on our face and living by faith no matter what mountains we need to conquer. That's what we need to do. But for us as believers, and I will admit, I can fall into this category at times. Fear happens when we don't pray. We fret. Fear happens when we stop trusting God completely. Fear demonstrates, really, if you think about it, when we have fear in our lives, it really demonstrates that I really don't trust God with this issue. Right? We're really saying to God, I don't know that you can handle, I'm not sure you want to handle this. I think you're out of touch with what's going on in my life, so we worry and we fret. That is not faith. And I find it very hard to understand why at times I can fall into that trap. And then I got to dig myself out. Jared Wilson has a very simple and profound thought. I apply it to people who are prone to fear. The closer that we are to the shepherd, the safer we are from the wolves. What does the shepherd do? Shepherd drives out fear. Shepherd drives out the enemy. We have a good shepherd. Distance from the shepherd can set us up in the spirit of fear because fear is like a tormenting wolf and he comes stalking in a pack. So you think of a flock of sheep that stay close to the shepherd, the likelihood of that wolf coming in to attack the flock is pretty minimal. But once those sheep start wandering off into their own little worlds, they now put themselves at risk of the wolf catching their scent, tracking them down. Because you and I know what the wolf wants to do, right? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We read Psalm 23 a lot of different occasions. But when I read Psalm 23 and I think of the green pastures and the quiet waters, that's where my shepherd wants to lead me. He wants to lead you away from fear into the safety of his fold. Psalm 56:3. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What's the promise? Promises the Holy Spirit. Could we receive anything better in these days than the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to watch over us? And then the Holy Spirit comes along and gives us these great gifts of power and love and self-control, sound mind, whichever way you want to put it. So I want to unpack these a little bit. First of all, the Holy Spirit gives us this spirit of mighty power. Do you know that living within you right now, in these moments, each and every one of us have been gifted with a mighty power? Do you believe it? Tell me you believe it. Do you demonstrate it? Do you live that way? Do we live under this conviction that I have the Holy Spirit within me and I am filled with mighty power to take on whatever the wolf wants to bring? It's indescribable. It's amazing that we would be gifted with this mighty power. And if you're not convinced, or if you think the mighty power isn't mighty, then I would say it this way. Think of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. What power is that? We're going to talk a little bit later about Lazarus being raised from the dead. What power is that? That power is in each one of us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you to accomplish what you need to accomplish, to deal with what you need to deal with. 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power, God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us but to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Everything that you need, you already have. You don't have to wait for heaven. You don't have to wait until you become some spiritual giant. You've got it. It's your disposal. It's your choice how you use it. That power comes to you through the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's for all of us. So let me ask you, do you want to activate that power in your life? Do you want to walk in that kind of faith, where you step in front of a mountain and you ask the mountain to move and it moves? Do you want that kind of power? Would we like that kind of power? Would we like that kind of power? I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Yeah. Then let's spend more time in God's Word. Let's dive into His Word and really be consumed with the presence of God through His Word. I don't know about you, but every word, every page in this, I absolutely believe. Some may call me foolish. Some may say, you don't have a sound mind. I believe every word that's in here. And I believe it's alive for us today. Scriptures tell us that this is alive and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. Let's consume this. Let's get into life groups where we do it together. Let's get into our times alone in devotions, and let's dig into God's Word and allow it to just fire us up. Then let's get into our prayer closets, and let's spend time with the Father. Let's hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. Maybe you need to weave fasting into your devotional routines. But then as the Word of God speaks to you, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, there's just one little word we just simply need to do. It's really easy to talk about, and that's the word obedience. You want mighty power? get into God's word. Get into God's presence more often than you're already doing. And let's be obedient to what the Spirit says to us. So those times when I'm in fear, I will do things like this. It's been a while since I've done this. But I will go to passages like 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'll read the story again of David and Goliath. You and I may think that that's just a cute little Bible story for kids. You read it through. You read it slow. You reflect on that account of David facing a giant the next time you're facing fear. And you read it and you apply it to your life. And you remember how God fought with and for David to take out a giant. And then you apply that to your life. And you say, that same power that took that stone and drove it right between the eyes of Goliath, and David took that huge sword and he whacked off the giant's head, that same power is available to each and every one of us, no matter what you're facing today. I don't care what your giant is. And I go back and I read accounts like this time and time again because they build my faith. And no matter how small my little mole of a hill that I think's a mountain, and then I realize that's nothing compared to the God I serve. The Holy Spirit also gives us the spirit of fear, or spirit of love, sorry, not fear. 1 John 4, 16 to 18, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. You get that? All who live in love live in God, and God lives where? In you. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because love expels fear. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses. You think of being gripped in a spirit of fear when you're combating with people or family members or whatever it is. 1 Peter 4:8, most important, all continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Oh, the great wedding passage that we often use. It's not just for weddings. We can use it today, okay? 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love is a mighty power that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we need to access it when we are gripped in fear. There's many emotions that we go through in life. Whatever our mountain is. And I've often encouraged people, when they're facing a mountain, one of the best things that they can do is to go and serve somebody. To go serve somewhere. Because when we serve in love, it does something to us. It is like a healing balm that's applied to our soul. So if you're filled with fear, find some place to serve. Serve out of love, and it'll do wonders for you. The other thing about serving is when you serve alongside other people, I've watched you. Someone said to me this morning, what a welcoming. This place is just filled with laughter and joyous conversation, and I'm assuming they could hear it flowing through the doors of the Edge. There's something to that. It's filled with love. It's encouraging. It's warming. It lifts us up. Third thing the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives us the spirit of self-discipline, self-control, sound mind, whichever translation you use. The significance of this gift is when panic sets in, when fear gets a grip of us, the Holy Spirit comes along and gives us the ability to think the way we need to think and to act the way we need to act. So we're not driven by irrational thought or behavior. I thought about this whole idea of sound mind, so I went to my friend Google, and we had this conversation. So here's what my friend Google says, and Google's always right, right? Never lies, so you can take this as almost gospel truth. A sound mind legally is having the capacity to think, reason, and to understand for oneself. Adults, by nature, are considered, in general terms, I kind of laugh at that. Generally, we have sound minds. Not all of us, but some of us. I'm thinking of myself, obviously, or the church down the way. But through certain circumstances, we can be rendered as being not in a sound mind due to intensive brain damage or other incapacities. I say that because you know what a great incapacitator is? It's a spirit of fear. We can lose the capacity of having a sound mind when we allow fear to grip us. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, I will give you a sound mind. I will give you self-control. Proverbs 3:21-26. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. You will not be afraid of sudden disaster and destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. So Paul says, Timothy, Paul says, River Valley Community Church, the Holy Spirit's going to give you mighty power. In your mighty power, you're going to become overcomers. And the Holy Spirit's going to give you love, and that love is going to dispel, it's going to cast out all the fears that you have within you. And the Holy Spirit's going to give you a sound mind so we can think clearly, rationally, appropriately. When I think of these three gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, I see them as a lethal combination against the powers of darkness. Satan has a lot of schemes. I was listening to someone this morning as I was getting ready, and as this individual was preaching, just reminded all of us again that Satan's still trying to do the same old things that he did in the garden. He doesn't have any new tricks. He's not smart enough for that. He keeps on using the same old tricks to try and trip us up. We need to have mighty power, love, and a sound mind to deal with it. When I think of us applying this passage of scripture to our lives today, I see Satan trembling, terrified, because he knows that he's losing his grip on us and his demise is coming. He knows what his end is going to be like. He's done. Satan's already defeated, right? You know that, right? The day Jesus went to the cross, the day he walked out of that tomb, Satan is done. Let's not give him any more authority into our lives. So let's claim what the Holy Spirit wants to give us. One more passage, we're not going to go to it because it's really, really long. But again, it's one I would encourage you to read, especially when you're feeling a little bit, I need some encouragement. John chapter 11, the first 44 verses, talks about this guy named Lazarus. Lazarus is not well, and it is serious. All the reports say he's got very little time left. And so Mary and Martha, they do what the only thing that they can think about doing is they send for Jesus. Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is not doing well. And what's odd is Jesus doesn't rush to his side. When Jesus arrives, already Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. It's hopeless, right? It's done. All that Jesus can do now is to minister to a grieving family and people who love Lazarus. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus walks up to the stone and he says, "Guys, move the stone." And Jesus looks into the darkness. And he prays. And Jesus speaks to the darkness. And he calls out to Lazarus, "Come out." And there was Lazarus, wrapped in his grave clothes, fully alive, risen back to life. How? Through mighty power and a great love from the Savior. The point I'm trying to get across for us in this, you may be living in a situation that seems absolutely impossible to you today. Nothing is impossible when Jesus speaks to the darkness. Whatever you see is dead and gone. Whatever you see that's lost forever and there's no power to overcome it, Jesus shows up. So why do we fear? Why do we fear? You know, maybe for you it's a loss of a dream. Maybe it's a loss of a relationship. Maybe your finances aren't doing well. Maybe it's a loss of a job. Maybe it's a loss of your health. Maybe it's a loss of connection with people. I don't know what your loss is that's deep and hurtful to you. But Jesus comes into those situations and he breathes life back into them. When I think of Mary and Martha, and when they recognized that their brother that they loved was in the tomb, all they saw was with physical eyes. And Jesus came along and helped them to see with spiritual eyes. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for some of you here today. He wants to open your eyes to see with spiritual eyes, to see what he can do when we trust him. When we allow the Holy Spirit to come in. I think he wants to breathe new life into whatever you're dealing with. It all depends whether we trust him or not, whether we'll give him our lives or not. So don't see things as from the natural perspective. And don't write God off that he can't do that. We've got to see things with spiritual eyes, and we got to trust. Through Christ, we can overcome every obstacle we face if we trust him. I've told you my story probably more than once. But I've told you the time when I heard the Holy Spirit speak directly to me where I thought someone was in the house when it was only me and the dog. And the Holy Spirit said to me in my turmoil, in my mountain, "Trust me." So you go in my office, you'll find placards. You go home, I've got placards. I've got a picture on my wall with the face of Jesus, and it talks about me trusting, because I will remind myself all the days of my life that he's trustworthy. And he took me through that mountain, and the mountain is gone. There is no more mountain. So will you trust him today? With whatever you're facing? Let's close with this. We're going to dim the lights. We're going to take a quick look at our video clip here. And then I'll come back and we'll wrap up.